All right, sorry, I had a problem with my recorder. Okay, so the so what is... Jeremy, could you answer it in terms of what the world is like today? What is America to the world today?
The greatest nation ever known.
Exactly, and it still is today the greatest in the world. Okay, great as in most important, for sure. Also, in many senses, the best. So that's two wonderful things. Okay, all right, so we're doing okay on these two, but I tell you, we got to get moving on these guys. And we're going to go back now over here to the beginning of it all, and I want to see if anybody can do this one. So, especially if you haven't done it, but it's okay, you know, if we get an expert that's helping everybody else, that's okay too. Sigourney, please.
Who, Menes and Armor, what, unified Upper and Lower Egypt, when, circa 3000 BC, where, in ancient Egypt, so what, the first pharaoh and the beginning of a great civilization which had a written history.
Okay, that's not so bad, except that that's still a what, because Sigourney, you know how you can tell if you still only have a what instead of a so what? I'll give you an important hint. If your answer doesn't have anything to do with the present. Now, when you say the first pharaoh, that doesn't have it. Are there any pharaohs today, Sigourney?
No.
No, there are no pharaohs. Now, the second part of your answer was decent, which was that there's the beginning of written history. So you're almost there, but that's still just a fact. The reason that that matters is, Sigourney, is here's how you complete your answer. We live 5,000 years after this happened. That's the so what. Human beings have been around doing recorded history for over 5,000 years. So this tells us more about where we are. You can say where I am in a lot of different ways. It's in a particular house, it's in a particular room, you're in a particular city, you're in a particular country, fine. But in a sense, you are also in a particular spot of human history. And that spot includes the fact that you are living over 5,000 years after Menes and Armor. Okay? That's the so what. All right? So there, that's how we complete your answer, Sigourney. Pretty good answer, but it's got to be about you. It's got to be about where you are, not just a fact. Otherwise, it's just a what question, not a so what. Okay. Pretty good answer. And so we're going to leave it there. That's only three because we're still struggling with three. So we got our work cut out for us. Tomorrow we got to do four. And tomorrow, Jack, you can't be worried about Columbus or the Founding Fathers. Those have got to be done by now. Everybody here should have the first two, Columbus and the Founding Fathers, really clicking. And Menes and Armor may be a little bit harder because we're still working on it. But after that, we got to get to this. This is one we're going to talk about a lot today. So, we got to fill these in, okay? So, do what you can there, folks. Keep on working on it. This is not something that you have to do by yourself. It's with mom and dad's help or with your sibling's help or, right, with the class notes. The answers are there. Jeremy, go ahead.
Who? Jesus. What? Both of Jesus? When?
That's a tough one, okay? So we got to look at when Jesus was born. We could either say year one, which is why we have the calendar we have, or exactly in 4 BC. Where? That's, you could say, inside the Roman Empire. Okay, that's what the painting shows us. He's inside the Roman Empire. So what? This is the beginning of Christianity, the most important religion in the world. And the reason why our calendar is the way that it is. There you go. Actually, we just did this one. Good. That was our first run through. Thanks, Jeremy, for getting it started. So what? The birth of the most important religion in the world and the reason why our calendar is the way that it is. Okay, good. We're putting this one away. Now, we're going back to the European world of Christopher Columbus. Put your hand down, Jeremy. Okay. This is what it looked like. It was a world that had these two continents on it. Sometimes we call them three, right? Europe, Asia, and Africa. It's a world like this. But all of a sudden, a new one had been discovered. And that would lead to all kinds of exciting things happening in this age of discovery. Okay. So now we're going to talk about more things that we need to know about this world that has these separate countries in it. Yes, or not yesterday, it turns out it was last week, right? Because it's Monday. Last class, or last week, right? We talked about the fact that when you look on a map and you see pretty colors, well, it's just like, oh, look, we see separate countries. What does this kind of not tell us? Which is pretty important and kind of sad. What does the fact that we are looking at a France in blue and a Spain in orange, and what again in green, Patrick?
Portugal
and England in magenta and so on. All right, we can just look at a map and we can see different countries. But why? Why different countries? Why don't people all live in one country? Why? How did they get organized this way? Abby?
Because people have fought and people have divided and people don't get along with each other and there are invasions and wars.
Right, exactly. And specifically in this particular story, here's the story. The same area of Europe that we were looking at used to have one country. We could call it that, but really it was an empire, right? And so everybody was organized in one empire. But then we have these pretty colorful arrows, which they look pretty, but what do they say? What are they telling us? Just what Abby was just saying. Tell us again, Abby. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Invasions.
Yeah, what they tell us is people moving and whenever they run into somebody else, killing them. Very sad. Very sad. That's what an invasion is. Okay, so this is, you know, like I said, colors on the map don't tell the story unless we understand what they mean. Okay, so these people came here called the Franks. They created this country called France. We have another set of people called the Angles, along with others called the Saxons and so on. They made Angoland. And then we got the Visigoths coming over here, and they and other people are going to make Spain and Portugal. All right, so the same story is repeated over and over again. Different people go in different places. They fight. They conquer each other, and they make these separate countries. When all is said and done, it looks like this. Now, it changes a little bit after this, but if you look on a map today, Portugal is pretty much like this, England is pretty much like this, France is pretty much like this, Spain is pretty much... So, when we're getting to the time of Columbus in 1492, things were already pretty much organized the way they were going to be, okay? So we're getting to where we are now. We're organized into countries that are separate, with people speaking separate languages, with lives that are disconnected. If they were people that lived a life that was interconnected, what language would they have been speaking at this time? Still. Sigourney?
Latin,
the language of the Roman Empire, and the language of our calendar. When we write our dates AD, what are we saying? Nothing in English, please. What are we saying when we write our dates AD, Nemo?
Anno Domini,
the Latin expression. All right, that captures the idea that Jesus is born, and this is a new part of history. Okay, good. So, now we're going to get into how was life organized in these separate places? If you were English, you lived your life in England, your whole life, never went anywhere else, and that's it. If you were French, you lived in France for your whole life, and your life was organized in a certain way. Very different than today, right? We have an interconnected world. You can get on a plane today and go to a different country. And pretty much nobody's going to stop you. They just want to see your passport and what you're going to do, and that's it. But back then, didn't happen. French people lived in France. Spanish people lived in Spain. Everybody was stuck in a certain place. So now we're going to talk about what that was like. Even in Columbus's time. And I have a diagram to show you that kind of describes this organization of life. So I'm going to bring it up on my screen here, put my maps away. And here is a diagram that I like to show my students in European history, which shows you how life was organized in the Dark or Middle Ages. So just take a look for a second here and see if you recognize the names of groups of people, if there are things that you know what they are. There might be some that you do. There might be some that you don't, right? Okay, so this is how life was organized in Europe, and I'm going to explain what these kind of separate groupings of people are here and what this means. Now, it's interesting because before the separate countries existed, in the Roman Empire, everything was organized only on one side. Everything was organized under the emperor, and he was on top, and the world was emperor-centric. But in this new world, there was no more Roman emperor. There were separate peoples that had separate kings. Many different ones, in fact. Okay, so this one just shows the general idea of a king. But we could show another line over here with a separate emperor and a king and a separate group of people. And a separate emperor and a king and a separate group of people. Okay, but over here, there was something else. Okay, so this is the thing that we are going to try to understand, was that this European world was kind of divided up into two parts. We can't call them halves, because this side over here was much, much larger in number of people. But it's still two pretty important, pretty evenly divided parts in terms of how important they were. And the difference between the two sides, with regular people living over here and others living over here, was the priority of what people were doing in their lives. On this side, everybody was basically focused on living life on Earth. On this side, people were focused on the belief in the supernatural, the belief in the Christian God. So the society of Europe in Columbus's time was divided into two sides. At the top of one side, we had the leader of any particular group of people. This just happens to be one of them. Okay, he was the king. Right, and he is in charge. And how do you know he's in charge? Well, he's got the sword, he's got the staff, he's got the huge crown, he's got the beautiful cloak. Everybody's paying attention to him. Right? So he's the king and he's in charge of everybody else. So he's the guy who fits over on this side. And beneath him were the other people that were important in his kingdom. You know what we can do about that? We can go back to this image and be reminded of that. Here we have a boy king, right? And who are these people? These are the important people that he is being presented to. This guy over here is probably a duke. And we have some counts and some lords. And what's this guy called over here? A guy with armor. And another guy with armor and helmets and swords and stuff. What were those guys called? Calebs? Caleb, sorry.
Knights,
right? Go back to the diagram for a quick sec. So we got the important people, the lords, and then we got the knights who do all the fighting, and then we got the regular folks, the people who do all the farming on the land. And at the bottom, we had a group of people that were called serfs, most people, in fact. They were farmers, and they were almost slaves. So some of you who will remember European history will know what I mean by that. But you might say, if you don't know what a serf is, you can basically think of it as being a slave. Most people were being ruled by others above them, and ultimately the guy at the top was the king, and he ruled everybody. Except, that wasn't how all of the world was organized. There was another part, there was another group of people, right, that we see on this side of the diagram, and they were in charge of the religion. They were in charge of Christianity, and they also had a leader. The leader was called in Latin the Papa. Now that sounds like what? Anybody here speak French? Papa means something very specific. What is a papa? Patrick, guess? It's a papa.
A dad?
A dad, father. Yes, a father to all the people. Yes, a papa. In English, we call him the Pope. That's the kind of this English version of the name Papa. And the papa was in charge of the religion. Here's a photograph of a more recent papa. More recent pope. Interesting how what some things are similar to the king and some things are different. Right? What do you notice that are things that are similar and things that are different? Anybody? Quick comparison? Sigourney?
A throne and a crown, he's got.
A throne and a crown. Rosetta, anything else?
He looks like everybody's paying attention.
Yeah, right. He's at the top. He's important. Okay. Caleb, anything else?
The Pope and the King are dressed the same.
Okay, very richly dressed. Yes, absolutely. Okay, Jennifer, did you want to add to that?
It looks like a picture is being taken instead of like a painting.
Well, yeah, this is more modern, indeed. So I found this was the best image I could collect up. So this is still true today that there is a person who is called the Pope in charge of part of Christianity, as it turns out now. We'll get into that now. Okay? But yeah, the crown and the outfit and the throne, all very similar. This man was in charge of the religion. And beneath him, people who did work for him were called bishops and archbishops. If we go back to our painting, let me go back to the painting now. Because I can't get the exact window that I want. Here we go. We go back to our painting. That's these guys over here. Bishops and archbishops. The important leaders of the church who are looking over this ceremony that's being held in a church, as a young king is being presented to the knights and the dukes. So this painting that we've looked at already is a really good picture to show us the most important people in the European world and how they were all organized together. Jennifer, Jeremy, put your hands down unless you have a follow-up issue. Okay, so now, okay, so I see both hands are still up. So Jeremy, go ahead.
A difference between the king in the painting and the pope that I just looked at.
Mm-hmm.
The pope's crown had a cross.
Yeah, it's a cross on the top, which is a symbol of Christianity. Good. Thank you, Jeremy. Another difference, which you guys didn't notice, or didn't mention anyway, was the lack of a sword for the pope and the lack of a staff that are symbols of physical power, which is what a king has. Actually, did anybody notice the cross? Uh-huh, there is a little cross on there. Uh-huh. So actually, no, the cross is not different. Interesting. But the lack of a sword for the pope is a little bit of a difference, isn't it? Okay, so society was organized this way. It wasn't a mistake, Jeremy. I'm glad you mentioned it because it helped me to look at that as well. Okay, so, like I said, most people in Europe around this time of Columbus were working on making food. That's something that's not like the way life is today. We have an abundance of food thanks to something called the Industrial Revolution. We'll learn about that this year. But back in Columbus's time, most people worked on making food. And then, What was the job of these people? The emperor, the king, the lords, and the knights. These people are making the food down here. What are these guys doing up here? Caleb?
They're eating the food.
Sort of. Yeah, they're eating more than the rest. That's true. But there's something else that they're doing for the people down below and for the food. These people up here, their job was to protect the food or to go and take some from other people that had it and give it to everybody else. So there was the whole, you know, people were trying. Why did these tribes back on our ancient map, why did they run around so much and conquer each other? Well, because people over here in this new area, they had food. And if you went over there and you took it from them, well, you'd have it. So yeah, in the Dark Ages, everybody was worried, so worried about having enough to survive. I can't get to the one I want. Here it is. That these knights and lords and kings, that was their main job, was keeping the food safe or taking it from somebody else. Yeah. And over here, well, the question was, what do we think of this? What is our belief with regard to God, because in Christianity there's only one? And how should we organize life because we here in Europe believe in a single God? So these were the main questions and important issues in life. But there's one more before we go for today. And that is just an explanation of why people are at different levels on this diagram. What do you think it means? Why are people on different levels? Abigail?
Because some people are considered more important than
others. Louder, please.
Because some people are considered more important than others.
Yeah, it's a measure of importance. It's a member of a measure of status. It's a member of who's in charge. Pope is in charge of the religious people in the society. The king is in charge of everybody else. But at the same time, they're kind of related and they're working together. And indeed, they both have a cross right there at the top of the crown. So there's something there that's very important about this society and how it's organized. And we'll get into the details a little bit more as we proceed this week. Okay, so we'll come back to this, but I must stress that this week, these things are not optional. I've been very easy on you guys, and I've been saying, just go and try to learn the four questions and so on. But what I'm sensing is that when Mr. Powell is kind of lenient, things don't get done. So, Mr. Powell is saying, this needs to get done this week. You've got to be able to answer all these questions for our timeline of events, right? Must be able to. No choices anymore. No more options. So work hard on that today so you can answer a new one tomorrow. Okay? Thank you, folks. We're doing well here. We're moving ahead. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye, Mr.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye. Bye.